several summers ago, and NTS Mekolo, so I was asked to give a series of shiurim at night. The question is, what topic should we talk about? So I had given some of the regular stuff, and there was a request for lack of a better term, called Shas topics. It means major, major topics that any Ben Torah, any Ben Yeshiva should be familiar with. So the topics that are a little Pshutik and Mashmal, the Shas topics in the sense, are the topics that permeate many, many different Masechtas. So I thought we'd try to give a shot at a similar type of a series here. The advantage of a series of because the Shas topics that we can change as we go along. Any topic that we want to talk about, so if people want other topics, we'll talk about other topics. So we're not bound to any particular Sigya. I thought we would try, the goal was to try to take really some, really in a sense, meaty sugyas, some really, really heavy-duty sugyas that appear throughout Torah Sushas, and try to get our hands a little bit more on some of the lumdus in the background, and every once in a while, a nice application of these sugyas. So probably in terms of style, it's probably closer to what we did when we did the Shev Shmaisa sugyas. Those were also a lot of Shas topics, so I'll try not to repeat that much of that, but some of it may be a little bit overlap here and there, because those were pretty big Shas topics. So I thought that the first topic we would begin with was the topic of Shlichus, the topic of Shlichus Shalom Kemoso. So anyone who learned the beginning of the second paragraph of Masechus Kedushin, or anyone who learned Masechus Gittin, anyone who learned the first paragraph of Metzia, has inevitably bumped into the topic of Shlichus. So I think it definitely qualifies as one of the Shas topics. So let's begin here. So there is a absolute agreed upon by everybody principle called Shlucho Shalom Kemoso. As agreed upon, as universal principles, that is, that when I appoint a representative, I appoint an agent to do something on my behalf, it's as if I did it, Shlucho Shalom Kemoso. It's interesting to note that phrase, Shlucho Shalom Kemoso, appears in Mishnayos only one place, and in a context which really has absolutely nothing to do with what we're going to talk about now. The principle of Shlucho Shalom Kemoso, those who remember back from the Fiyomi, is a Mishnah in the fifth parak of Masechus Brachos, and it's talking about a shliach tzibur, someone who is not a shliach in the classic sense of the word. It's talking about, it's not even in a halachic context, it's talking about if a shliach tzibur makes a mistake in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, in the middle of Chazal Sashatz, that may be a bad omen for the entire tzibur. Why is that? Shluchu shalom kemoiso. That's the phrase, that's the only time, to the best of my knowledge, of Mishnayos, that phrase appears. So we're not going to talk about Hilchos Brachos right now, we're not going to talk about Hilchos Tefillin right now. We're going to talk about the real halachic phrase, the real halachic term, called Shluchu Shalom Kemoso. So I want to try to explore a little bit what the nature of this halacha of Shlichus is all about, and some of the applications of Shlichus, and some of the important exceptions to the rule of Shlichus. So the principle of Shlichus is agreed upon by everybody. It's derived from a series of psukim. What exactly the derivation is a little bit up for grabs. That's the Gemara in Masechus Kedushin, that's the Malav. It's very, very hard to show you where the source for Shlichus is. And all the dust settles, it's somewhat of a combination of four different Makoros in the Tarshish Basav, which have the institution of Shlichus. One is concerning a get, the giving of a get, where the Torah uses the phrase Vishulcha Bibeso. The way Vishulcha is conjugated, it makes sense of the rules of dictum, which is Gufa Machlokes, so we showed them what exactly the limud is. But the bottom line is the Torah is alluding to the fact, is teaching us that one doesn't have to give the get directly to his wife. One can appoint the shaliach to give it to his wife. Or vice versa, the wife herself doesn't have to receive the get, rather she can appoint the shaliach to receive the get. So that's based on a series of psukim in Hilchos Gittin, Rishulcha Mibeso, which is Merabis Tazal Lashon of Shlichos. That's one of the Makaros for Shlichos. Then the Gemara says, whatever works for get works for Kiddushin, because Gittin and Kiddushin always go hand in hand, they're compared to one another in the Chumash. So it's as if the Torah told us that the Shlichos by Kiddushin as well. Then the Gemara has another Makar from Truma. It says that one is Mafresh Truma. One has the ability to be mafresh truma on their own produce, whereas one cannot be mafresh truma, cannot separate truma on somebody else's produce. So the Torah says, "Kein terivu gama tem truma sashem." So the Torah uses a strange phrase, "gama tem." Gam is a ribu, gam is including. Gam le rabba shluchachem. Hopefully, we'll see as we go on why that source has become critical, because there are many of the details of shlichus that are actually derived from the model of truma. So gam is the rabba sasa shliach, and the fourth possible bachar is from korban pesach v'shachtu also kol kahal adasas rabin arbayim. It sounds like everybody shachting. One person shachting. There are 50 people on one korban pesach. We're in everybody shachting. The answer is b'kasha shluchu shalom kemoso. So those are the four makaras that appear at least in the sugya in Masechus Kedushin. Rashi and Chumash of Rashi Zemar quotes another one. For ragbo so kol eider, Rashi quotes that in the context of Mises Beis Din. So the Torah says that everybody kills the person who's Chayav Mises Beis Din. Everybody kills. One person, the Shalir Beis Din kills. Everybody kills. So it's a Mikach Shluch Shalom Kibosos. Okay, that's another mocha that doesn't appear in the Gemara itself. So a whole part of the existence of Shlichos is an absolute cloud that's present in Halacha. It works in HaTorah. There's no question about it. We're Matur and Eshazish based on Nochas Gittin. We create Kedushin. We have Truma. We have Kor Pesach. It works in all areas of a... It's going to be a long Tishrei day. Something about Chodesh Tishrei. I haven't figured out the studies yet. Something about Chodesh Tishrei and colds. I don't know if it's in Tishrei or it's in October. I'm not sure what the Gurim is, but it seems to always come together. So the... This principle is for sure din min haTorah. It's agreed upon by everybody. Nobody says, no, there's no such thing as shlichus. Everybody accepts that there's a concept of shlichus. However, what's somewhat unclear, and which is most probably a major machlekes in the Rishon, may even be machlekes in the Gemara itself, as to what the very essence of shlichus is, what the nature of shlichus is, what exactly is happening. Reuven appoints Shimon to be Mekadesh Anisha, Reuven appoints Shimon to be Mafesh Truma, to Shechtuk and Pesach, etc. What is the mechanism in halacha? What exactly is taking place when we apply this principle of shlichus? So this question as to what exactly shlichus is all about is most clearly illustrated by machlekes and rishonim, which we need a little bit of a step back in order to appreciate and understand this machlekes and rishonim. We mentioned before that one of the places where shlichus for sure works is in the realm of gittin. So the truth is that there are really three different possible applications of shlichus in the realm of gittin. One is concerning the giving of the get, when the husband appoints a shaliach to deliver the get to his wife, because the Torah says, the nosan biyado, he has to give it. So comes the Torah Shemapeh and says, well, he himself doesn't have to give it, he can appoint a shaliach as well, shluch sham kibayset. The second application is what we call shaliach le-kabbalah. The first was shaliach le-halacha, the second is shaliach le-kabbalah, where the woman appoints a shaliach to receive the get on her behalf. Then there's a third possible application of shlichus, and that's vis-a-vis the ksivas haget. It's not the delivery of the get. Who's going to deliver the get? The husband will give the get. But the husband doesn't know how to write. So he appoints a sofer to write the get on his behalf. So that's also possibly an application of shlichus. It happens to be a machlekes and rishonim, whether that is even working within the mechanism of shlichus. Taisus has 2 days about this. In one place Taisus writes that this is classic shlichus, because the Torah says, v'chosav lo sefer krisus, which means that the husband has to write the get. And the only way to explain how a sofer could write the get on behalf of the husband is based on shlichus. We have Mishnayos, half of Maseches Gittin talks about a sofer writing a get. Everybody knows the husband doesn't really write the get, the sofer writes the get. So how does that work? So Tosfos writes on Daf Tes and Maseches Gittin, it must be based on shlichus, that the husband really is supposed to write the get, the same way the husband's supposed to give the get, the same way the man's supposed to be Mafresh Truma, the same way he's supposed to Shech Terum Korban Pesach. And Shluch Shalom Kum also means that you can appoint a shlich to write the get in your behalf. And Tosfos in another place, Daf Chabez, writes that's not true, that there never was a requirement of the husband writing the get. When the Torah says v'chosav lo sefer krisos, v'chosav means the writer should write the get. There never was a din. There never was a halacha that the husband has to write a get. Anybody can write a get, so you don't even need shlichos for ksivas again. So that's a machlekes and rishonim, whether or not you actually have to employ the principle of shlichos to justify the writing of a get ayidei a sefer, but the giving of the get. Everybody agrees. The Torah says v'nosan v'yada. V'nosan is not referring to a stranger. V'nosan means the husband. So the husband must deliver the get directly to the hand of the wife. It's not true. The Mishnah says you can appoint the shaliach. It must be shluch sham kemosel. So we're going to focus now on the din of shaliach laholachas haget, the giving of the get. We're not interested in the woman's shaliach right now. We're not interested in the sefer right now. We're talking about the fact that a man wrote a get, gets all there already. He now appoints a shaliach to deliver the get to the wife. So comes the Mishnah, the beginning of the seventh parak of Maseches Gittin, and discusses the following shaila. What if the husband appointed a shaliach to deliver a get to his wife, and it's a long trip, the shaliach is on his way, he's on a long boat ride to China to deliver the get, and in the interim, the husband becomes unable to be someone who can authorize the giving of a get. He becomes a shaita, he becomes insane. So the halacha is, a shaita is a lav bar das. Anyone who's a lav bar das cannot appoint a shaliach. So the question becomes, well, he appointed the shaliach at the time that he was already sane, he was already normal. Now, in the next 6 months, before the get is delivered, he becomes a shaita. What's the din? Is the get considered to be acceptable when the shaliach delivers the get or not? So can we apply shluch shalom kemoso in a situation where the husband himself is not technically able to deliver the get. So that's a shout that the Gemara raises. So the Gemara says the answer to that question is absolutely not. That get would not be acceptable. That the Baal, the husband, must remain in a position of being himself able to give the get at the time that the get is being given. So even though the shlich was appointed at a time when he was okay, if in the interim he became a shaita, the get would not be acceptable. That's the fairish of the Gemara. In fact, in that Gemara, it's a sugi, what's called Misha Achsa Kredikas, that the Gemara begins to discuss these different types of mental, psychological conditions, the psychiatric conditions, which would warrant a person sometimes becoming sane, not sane, etc. So it's in the middle of that sugi that the Gemara begins to discuss some interesting medicine from the times of the Gemara. That's the first we daf in the seventh breakfast of the Gittin, dedicated to all kind of interesting cures and medical things that we have tradition from the Goyim that we're not permitted to use anymore because we don't exactly understand them, we don't know how to apply them. So the halacha tells we're not supposed to use them. But in theory, those are interesting. You can learn the first three blad of the seventh breakfast of Gittin, some fascinating sugis. So, but we're not, this is not the medical shiur, this is the halachic part of the shiur. So the Gemara is the fairish that doesn't work. This stunt wouldn't work. So the question is, this idea that it doesn't work, that the giving of a get, idea shaliach, once the Baal is in effect incapacitated, why is that not work? What's the problem? So there is a machlekes Rishonim, just how serious a problem do we have in our hands? So the Rambam, when he quotes this halacha about the shaliach being unable to deliver the get because the Baal is no longer a bar da'as, so the Rambam writes, and if the shaliach would go ahead and give such a get against that halacha, the get would be posel. That's the lashon that the Rambam uses. So that word puzzle sounds like a very, very powerful word. Puzzle sounds like it's no good. The esrog is puzzle. You know, you say the sukkah is puzzle. That sounds pretty bad. So if you look at it as gittin, you come to the realization that that's not so bad. The word puzzle is not such a bad word. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Gerushin that whenever we use the term puzzle means that it's puzzle mid rabbanan. Puzzle means that mid Torah really the get would be good, but mid rabbanan we will not permit her to remarry based on such a get. When the halacha wants to indicate that a get is really no good, that it's absolutely not acceptable in the Torah, we'll use a much stronger lashon. The get is botel, or the get is eino get, or eino begereshes klal, whatever. Certain lashonos which are reserved for something which would be a real problem on a level of deraisa. So the word posel is a watered down word. It's almost like in Hilchos Shabbos, you have chayav versus potter. Chayav means it's a problem in the Torah. Potter means potter of a loser. So botel means it's botel in the Torah. Posel means not so bad. It's posel in the Rabbanah, but it's still kosher in the Torah. So when the Rambam describes this halacha of the shaliach not being able to act when the husband is out of commission, the Rambam says, not so terrible. It's posel, but it's kosher in the Torah. So the Torah in Hilchos Gittin quotes the same halacha, and the Torah throws the book at you and he says, it's botel, the get is eno get, it's eno get klal, the whole get is botel, mevutel, on the level of the araisa. So what exactly is the Nekudas of Machlekes? What are they arguing about? The Machlekes, the Rambam, and the Torah, is the get good, is the get not good? So the Ketzayis has a famous beer, the Tzachayshin has a famous beer, where he says that the Nekudas of Machlekes, the point of argument, is really a fundamental point, not so much in terms of Hilchos Gittin, but it's really a Shalichas question. It's really the basics, the ABCs. I think if the Ketzayis was giving the Shas Shir on Shalichas, he would probably start with this also. So the Ketzayis says that what the Machlekes, the Rambam, and the Torah is fundamentally what the nature of Shlichus is all about. One could raise a very basic hakira, which is going to be, when you learn Shasuk, you've got a lot of hakiras in there. A basic hakira, what the very essence, what's the nature of Shlichus is all about. When Reuven appoints Shimon to do something in his effect, who is the Baal HaChalos? Who is the one who's really affecting the Chalos? Who is the one who becomes, in a sense, the Magarish? Who is the Makadish? Who is the Torah? So one can understand it one of two ways. Either one can understand that the Baal HaChalos, the person who's creating the Chalos, really is the Shaliach. That's what the words means. Shlucho Shaladam. Listen to the words. Shlucho Shaladam Kimoso. Shlucho Shaladam means the Shaliach steps up to the plate. The Shaliach steps into the shoes of the Mishaleach. And the Shaliach is the Baal HaChalos. He is the Megarish as Aisha. He is the one the Torah gives somebody. He's not the husband. He's not the owner of the fruit. He's not the owner of the korban. He's not going to be the real. He's not going to be married to this woman. And yet the Torah says Shlucho Shaladam Kimoso. He has the koach to create the chalos. That's what shlichus means. What do you say? No, that's not what shlichus means. Who's the Baal HaChalos? The Baal HaChalos is the guy who's married to this woman. The Baal HaChalos is the guy whose fruit is going to become mutter. The Baal HaChalos is the guy who's going to be part of the Korban Pesach. The Baal HaChalos is the original Baal, is the Mishalech, is not the Shaliach. The Torah is Mechadesh. Don't take the word Shluch Shalom Kvar so literally. Let's not forget that term, Shluch Shalom Kibbalso, is not a pure halachic term. It's a term that Chazal made up. Chazal coined the phrase Shluch Shalom Kibbalso. But Shluch Shalom Kibbalso, all it means is that when I do something, it's Mesiyache, it's back to you. If I was appointed by you as a Shaliach, I can do something, and it's as if you did it. But you want to know who did it? You are the one who did it. You are the Baal HaChalos. I'm not the Baal HaChalos. So comes the Ketzos and says, who is the effector over here? Who's the one who's really being megarish this woman? Who's the nicer as I get? Is it the Mishalech or is it the Shaliach? That's the point of Machlokes between the Rambam and the Torah. The Rambam holds that on a pure level midaraisa, once you appoint the Shaliach to do something, he becomes the player. You're out of the picture. You're not the megarish anymore. And since you, the husband, are not the megarish anymore, we don't really care whether you're a bardas or not. So you're not a bardas. So what? You're not a bardas. You're irrelevant. You went to sleep. You're out of the picture. The person who we really care about, his mental capacity, is the shaliach. If the shaliach is a bardas, then the get's going to be good. Once the get is good, then the woman is megarashes. I, the husband, can't be megarashes. So the husband's gone. If the husband was a shaita when he appointed her, him as a shaliach, that's not a mina shalichas. That's a nothing. It's a labardas. But once the Baal started the ball rolling, that he appointed the shaliach, even though the Baal is now out of the picture, he can no longer have a shaliach act for him, it doesn't matter. Once the shaliach has the koach to act, he becomes the Baal HaDover. And therefore the Rambam argues that in a perfect world, in the love of the Araisa, such a stunt would be acceptable. You can appoint a shaliach and then become a shaita, and a no problem. Midrabbanan, we don't like it. You know what? It's very dangerous, midrabbanan. Because if we let people act on behalf of husbands who are shaitim, the next thing that's going to happen is a guy's going to appoint a shaliach when he is a shaita, and that would be a problem in a Torah, because that wouldn't be a proper appointment. That wouldn't be a vina shlichus. The whole shlichus wouldn't get off the ground. So everybody agrees that the shaliach, the mishalech, the husband, has to be a bardas at the time of the appointment of the shaliach. That's not negotiable. So it's a bad idea. It's bad practice, bad public policy to have shaitim act, to have shlichim acting on behalf of shaitim. But in the perfect world, in terms of conceptual world of shlichos, there's nothing wrong with it, according to the Rambam. And that's exactly what the Torah disagrees. The Torah says, what are you talking about? The Torah says that just because the husband appointed a shaliach, the husband is still a major role. The husband is sitting back thousands of miles away, but he's still the megarish. Shluch Shalom Kibbalso doesn't mean that the shaliach is the megarish. Who's the shaliach? Not married to the woman. He's the megarish. The words don't make any sense. He's not the megarish. He's a separate person. Elohat, the Torah says, whatever he does, it's as if the husband did it. But the husband is the baldom. He's the baal achalos. As such, says the Torah, on the level of the araisa, the husband has to be somebody who is barochi. He has to be someone who has the ability to be megarish. If he doesn't have the ability to be megarish, then the whole thing falls by the wayside. So this machlekes is the Rambam and the Torah tucked away in the seventh paragraph of Gittin. It's a complicated technical question in terms of the husband made a shliach, and the husband became a shaita, then can he, is the shliach good, is the shliach no good, the Rabban, the whole story. This is a fundamental question. This is the Shas topic. This is it. This is how do you understand shlichus? Shlum Shalom Kibbalso, does it mean the shaliach is the baldover, or does it mean that the baal, the original mishaleach, remains the baldover? So comes the Ketzos, he goes one step further. He says, this Shtichot Torah of the Rambam sounds very nice and explains beautifully the whole notion of a shote, but it runs into a very, very serious problem. Because if you take the Rambam's line of reasoning to its logical conclusion, that once you appoint the shaliach, so the husband is really out of the picture, he's totally out of the picture, and the shaliach takes on a life in and of itself, then the chayri should run into the following predicament. The Mishnah says, in the beginning of Maseches Gittin, that there's an absolute principle called Ein Get Liachamisa. A person cannot give a get after he's no longer alive. Now, why would we care whether he's giving the get if he's no longer alive? The woman can get married anyway. No, it's a big nafkamina. Nafkamina legabe yibum. If the husband died and she was supposed to have yibum and she wasn't divorced before the time of Misa, then she's stuck. She has to go have yibum chalitza with the brother. Whereas if the get we can somehow declare to be valid, so then she wasn't married. She wasn't married, so then obviously there's no yibum, there's no chalitza. So the Gemara says, Mishnah says, Beferish in a few places in Shas, Ein get liachamisa. You can't affect the get after death. What's the case of Ein Get Liachamisa? To tell me that a dead person can't hand the get over to his wife, I don't need a Mishnah to tell me that. That's pretty obvious. It's not going to happen. So what would be the case even of a potential Get Liachamisa? So the Mishnahis present two different cases. So one case is Reuven gave a get to his wife, but he puts a stipulation, puts a time on the get. He says, I'm giving you this get, but the get shouldn't take effect till 6 months from now. You can do that. You can make a chalos liachazman. Let's say kedusha. Person gives a ring to a woman and says, listen, I don't want to get married. Now, I always give the example of Shia. You know, it's already December, January time, and the couple really, really wants to get married. The parents are adamant. No, you can't get married until the end of the semester, until the end of the year. He's got to graduate first. So they make a pshar. What's the pshar? They have the chasana, but they make it tonight. But tonight, I didn't advocate this. It was just a joke. That he gives her the ring and says she should be married to him after June, after they finish marching down the aisle, graduation, May 15th, so then the kiddush should be chal. So you can do that. It's a concept in halacha of making a chalos liachazman. How does that work? So that'll have to be maybe another shas topic about tanoim and maisa, the whole story, not for now. But there's a concept of making a kinyan and making a chalos liachazman. So the husband gives a get to his wife and says, I'm giving you this get now, and the effect of the gerushin should only take place in 6 months from now. Small technical problem, the husband dies within those 6 months. So the Mishnah says, ein get liachamisa, because at the moment of time when the get is supposed to take effect, the husband is no longer alive, so a dead person can't be megarish a woman. You can't have a chalos gerush in the achar misa. So that's one application of ein get liachar misa. The second application of ein get liachar misa, the Mishnah says, is let's say a person appoints a shaliach. Reuven appoints Shimon as a shaliach to deliver a get. Shimon's traveling for 6 months, and before Shimon delivers the get to the woman, he hears, gets a phone call that Reuven died already. So if Shimon will go and deliver the get at that point, the get is bottled. The get is no good. Minat Torah ain't no clue. The get is absolutely no good. That's also a case of Engel Yechavisa. So comes a Ktzais and asks, I don't understand. According to the Tor, who says that Shluch Hashem Kemaisa means that the husband's still in the driver's seat, he's still pulling the strings, he's still the Megaresh. So I understand perfectly well. Just as the husband has to be a Bardas, he has to be alive also. Just as a Shaita can be Megaresh, a Nais can be Megaresh. So I understand the principle of Engel Yechavisa. But according to the Rambam, who says that Shlichus is a whole new world, Shlichus means that the Shaliach becomes the Baldover. He's calling the shots. He's in control. So just as he's in control when the husband becomes a Shaita, he should be in control when the husband is dead also. So what's the difference conceptually? Why is it even the Rambam, who holds that a Shaliach can give a get min haTorah on behalf of a Shaita, there's no question that the Rambam would concede that a shliach cannot give a get on behalf of a dead person. What's the difference conceptually between a mace and a shaita? A mace can't give a get. A shaita can't give a get. A shaita, somehow a shliach can work on his behalf because the magic, hocus pocus, shluchsam kemoso, enables the get to be given on behalf of the shaita husband. So why don't we apply that same logic to a get on behalf of a dead husband? What's the difference conceptually between a shaita and a mace? I mean, I see they're different. A shaita is a shaita. A mace is a mace. It's true. They're different. But very often when you learn, not only learning, in life also. So you say the two things are different. So you have to really conceptualize, well, how are they different? What point are they different? So an apple is different from an orange. But an apple is different from an orange in a different way than an apple is different from a table. So sometimes things are very different. Sometimes there are things that are just a minor point that's different. So a shaita and a dead person are very different medically, but halachically they're not all that different. That the mace is an enobataris gerishin, and a shaita is an enobataris gerishin. So why is it that the mace, somehow the shlichus is no good, whereas for the shaita, the shlichus is valid in that Torah? So the Ktzai says the answer is very simple. He says, why is it that ein get liachamisa? What kind of principle is that ein get liachamisa? So says the Ktzais, the answer is very simple. They're not married anymore. How can you be magari someone who's not your wife? Once a person dies, so she's not married to him anymore. The sheiris, the ishas, is pop already. Well, let's say in the realm of mominus, the Gemara says, ein shtar liachamisa. You can't give a gift liachamisa. If a person writes a shtar that the gift should only take place 6 months from now, and within those 6 months he dies, so the Mishnah says, ein shtar liachamisa. Why is that? Because it's not his money. He can't give something away if it doesn't belong to you. So comes the Ktzais and says, ein get liachamisa is much more profound than the fact that a shaita can't be megarish. A shaita is still married to his wife. It's just a technical problem. He's a law of bardas, and therefore the Rambam holds, well, if you appointed a shaliach before you became a shaita, the shaliach becomes a life in and of itself, and the get can go through min haTorah. The reason why a mace can't be megarish has nothing to do with law of bardas. A mace can't be megarish. He's not married to her anymore. Ein sheiris liachamisa, ein kiddush, ein ishas liachamisa. So since the couple is not married anymore, how can you talk about getting a get? So what's going to help that you're going to appoint the shaliach? Reuven appoints the shaliach, and then Reuven dies. The shaliach is going to say, "It's okay, Reuven's dead, no problem. I'm the shaliach. Here I am. I'm being megar. Will you be megarish? Be megarish a single girl? You be megarish a girl's not married anymore. So that's pretty silly. How can you give a get? The prerequisite of a get is that the woman's married. So the Ktzai says, so the kash of Engel Echavisa doesn't disprove the Rambam's theory. So the Rambam's theory is still kayam. That's the din. that min haTorah shluch shlom kemelso is pshuto kemashmal, in the sense that the shliach becomes the baal dover, he becomes the bailim, and therefore he can even do things that the husband himself can subsequently no longer do. So this fundamental hakir, really the basic, the ABCs in terms of shlichos, the Ketzais is attributing this to ultimately the machlokes in the Rambam and the Tuhar, but there are others who suggest that this hakir, this shaila, may go back even before the days of the Rambam and the Tuhar. The Yerushalmeach suggests that this hakir, this fundamental shaila, is really none less than a machlokes Amoraim themselves, that appears in Maseches Kedusha Daf Mem Gimel. He has a shaila about the following scenario, whether we know there's a principle called the shaliach, and in some areas of halacha we require an edim. Let's say by get, by kiddushin, you require two edim. So what is a shaila? A person appoints a shaliach. Let's say Reuven appoints a shaliach to go be mekadesh a woman on his behalf, and the shaliach comes, and he's about to present the kiddushin, and he's looking around for edim, and he doesn't find the edim. There's only one other ed around. So the question is, can the shaliach wear two hats? Can the shaliach be both a shaliach and also be an aid? So on the one hand, I'm giving the ring, and I'm also watching that I'm giving the ring. What's the problem? Shaliach nas aid or ain't shaliach nas aid? So it's machlekes amaroyim, whether shaliach nas aid or ain't shaliach nas aid. The Gemara says the machlekes in kedushin. Again, the moment is throughout kol Torah kula, does the shaliach have the ability to wear both hats at the same time? So comes the Yosemech, says, what's the shaila? It's the arbitrary machlekes is this. Can the shaliach be aid? Not be an aid. What's the issue? So the Yosemech explains the issue is very simple. He says that if you hold that the shaliach has now been transformed to be the bailim, he's the one who's creating the chalos. So there's the ABCs of Hilchas Eidus. You can't be an aid for yourself. I can't testify about my own condition. Would anybody say that I'm about to be a Mekadesh woman? I can't find another shaliach. So I say, no problem. I'm the chasen. I'm sorry. I can't find another aid. So I'll be the aid and I'll be the chasen. No problem. I can do it. I'm giving the ring. I'm watching to give you the ring. So that's a light sonus. How can a baal dover be an aid? That's an absolute contradiction. So if you hold that the shaliach becomes the baal dover, he is it. He's the baal dover. So what do you mean he's gonna be the aid and the shaliach and the baal dover and the chassan? He's gonna be he's a jack of all trades. He's gonna be everybody. That's absurd. But if you hold that the shaliach is not the baal dover, the shaliach is merely doing the physical act of delivering a ring. Who's the baal dover? The chassan, 6,000 miles away. He's the baal dover. So comes the Yosemech and says, if you hold that the shaliach is not really the baal dover, he's not the mekadesh, he's not the megarish. So what's the problem? He can be the shaliach and the aid, all rolled into one. So says the Yosemech, what we thought was a machlokes the Rambam of the Tuhar, if you look really carefully in between the lines of the Gemara and Kedushin Mem Gimel, it's a machlokes amaroyim. That's the issue, whether the shaliach nas aid or not. If that's the case, so then how does it play out lemaisa? So the Gemara paskins hilchus shaliach nas aid. We paskin lalocha that shaliach can be an aid. So if that's the case, that would be suggesting, like the tour, that the shaliach is not really the baal dover. If the shaliach was really truly the baal dover, then he couldn't be the aid. So the fact that we paskin lalocha the shaliach is nas aid, that would be a tremendous support to the theory of the tour that shaliach shaliach was not quite the baal dover. You don't actually become the mishalech. The real baal dover is the mishalech. So again, whether or not both of these issues are totally zebizet is up for grabs. But you see, two gedolei acharonim, the Ketzais is reading this chakira into a machlekes Rambam in the Torah, and the Yosemech is reading the same chakira into a machlekes Amoraim. So this is the introduction in the sense of shlichus. How far does shlichus go? Does shlichus mean that ultimately the shlich is the baal dover, or does shlichus mean the mishalech remains the baal dover? Even if one assumes the very strong version, the very, very literal version of Shluch Shalom Kemoso, that the Shliach Mamish merges in one, becomes really the Baal Dover, there may still be Gvul Yesh Padofel. It may still have to put the brakes on just how far this principle of Shlichus really goes in terms of how much we identify the Shliach and the Shliach is one and the same. This touches upon something we spoke about a little bit in some of the Shabbos afternoon shiurim, so once or twice, about an issue that, as strange as it is, it's such a basic question about shlichos that doesn't appear in the Gemara. It appears in the Rishonim, but not in the Gemara itself. And that's the question of shlichos by mitzvah shebegufo. So what's the din? Can I appoint a shliach to do a mitzvah that involves my own body? I'm tired in the morning, I was up late last night, so I call somebody up before I go to sleep and say, listen, do me a favor, I want to sleep late tomorrow, can you please put on film for me? Have in mind, put on film for me. Alumnus, you put on film first for yourself, then you take it off, put it on for yourself. For me, I don't know, you figure out the alumnus how many times you have to put it on. But do me a favor, be my shaliach and put on film for me. Well, let's say, I'm busy, it's Pesach night, enough time to make a seder, do me a favor, eat an extra kazayis and matzah and have me in mind. What's that in? Can you appoint a shliach? Why not? I can appoint a shliach to shech the Korban Pesach for me. I can appoint a shliach to be mafresh terms of maizis, bekadish, begarish, mechamemker, kolter kula, shliach isn't working. So why can't I? Maybe I can. Maybe I can appoint a shliach for what's called the mitzvah shebegufo. So the assumption of everybody is that that's ridiculous. And we've never heard of such a crazy thing of having a shliach for a mitzvah shebegufo. But the problem is that it's unclear exactly why not. We have to conceptualize, formalize, why does it not work? It's very easy just to laugh it off and say, come on, wait, someone says that. But conceptually, what's the difference between appointing a shliach for kiddushin, appointing a shliach for mechira, for truma, etc., in contrast to appointing a shliach for hanachas tefillin? So the Taisus Rid in the beginning of the second parakha of Masechus Kiddushin suggests that the reason is as follows: that shlichus is limited only when there's some kind of a result that we can point to. That means there's some kind of a chalos, in a sense, that took place. There's some kind of a change in status that we can point to. Let's say the emotional condition. So we can point to, there's a change. The woman is now mekudeshes. Gerushin, the woman is now megureshes. Shruma, the fruit used to be tevel, now it's mutter. The Korban Pesach, apidin, is considered to be belonging now to the chabura. It's nikra shem chabura. So you can always point to some kind of a change in status. Tefillin, whether I put tefillin on this morning, I didn't put on tefillin this morning, there was no change in status. The Rav is a whole famous thing. The Rav is a famous Shlomo Torah about tefillin, based on Lashon Rambam, that when you put on the tefillin, the thing goes to the Rosh, there's a change in the Gavra, is a Muchta, the tefillin, the Rambam, right? That's all nice, but Tachas, it's not Kedushin, Gerushin, Mechira, etc. So there may be some kind of a halachic spiritual change in the person's essence, but a chalois is not. It's the same guy when you put on tefillin, didn't put on tefillin. Same guy when you ate the matzah, didn't eat the matzah. So as Rid says, whenever you can't point to a change in the chalois, to a halachic legal change, so the whole principle of shlichus doesn't get off the ground. So the Ktzais has serious issues with this Taisus Rid. Those who remember, I've told the story in the past about the machlokes, the Ktzais and Taisus Rid. So the Ktzais disagrees with the Taisus Rid and gives a different view. So many years ago, when I was the first Shabbos, I was out in California before I was married, and even before we were engaged, I was a friend of one of my wife's brothers. That was my official title for that Shabbos. So I was visiting in the valley, and the summer I got talked into, I know exactly how, father-in-law to be, kind of got me into giving a shiur. So I gave a shiur. I spoke at the Shabbos afternoon, and I don't know exactly how we got into this topic about mitzvah shebegufo, shlichus mitzvah shebegufo. So I quoted the Machlokes Taisus Rid in the Ktzais about is the mitzvah shebegufo, what's the nature of the problem, why there's no shlichus mitzvah shebegufo. So there was an older Rosh Hashiva from Eretz Yisrael who for some reason was visiting the place and was saying the shiur. He was sitting in the back listening to the shiur, and he got very upset. He said, how can it be a Machlokes? He says, Taisus Rid was a Risha, the Ktzais was an Achron. Rishonim don't argue, Achronim don't argue with Rishonim. So he got very upset that I used the term machlokes. So in a very respectful tone, I try to explain that if the Taisus Rid says one thing, and the Ktzais says what the Taisus Rid said is not correct, that I'm saying something else, I don't know exactly what other term to use, except to use the term. Well, usually the Achronim don't argue with Rishonim, but it's not always. That's not halach moshesina, can't argue with Rishonim. So it's sometimes Achronim, it's not the first time Shagasai doesn't argue with Rishonim, Gra doesn't argue with Rishonim, a lot of Achronim don't argue with Rishonim. So I said this, it was a very, very uncomfortable position, but here my father was listening. What is this guy? Here I'm arguing with the 85-year-old Rashi from Bnei Brak about whether there's a machlokes between a Rishon and Achronim, a very strange position. So then, this was even before 18 years ago, so it was, there were emails already, but it wasn't like today's world. Everything you say is broadcast across the world in a half a second. But by Sunday already, the word had made it to Eretz Yisrael. So somebody told me that we heard there was a big machlokes in California about whether there are machlokes in Rishonim and Achronim. I said, okay, great. No one remembered a word except from the Shia, but that they remember. But Rebbe Hashem, all's well that ends well. Got married, happily ever after. Okay, we're getting back to this machlokes. So the Ktzais does disagree with it. Whatever you want to call it, whatever you want. But Lamaisa, the Ktzais disagrees with the Ktzais's Rid. The Ktzais says, it's not true. He says that there's no shlichus when there's no chalos. There's a whole sugya in the Gemara, hopefully we'll talk about it a little bit later on, of what's called Ein Shlichus and Dvar Aveira. If Reuben appoints a shaliach to kill somebody, so do we say that the shaliach is chayav? Do we say the mishalech is chayav? Where's the chalos? Chalos being dead? That's not a chalos. It's not a change of status. The Gemara discusses the possibility of shlichus by machos asuros. We spoke about this on the Friday morning shiur the other day. About I appoint a shliach and tell somebody, eat tray for my behalf. So the Gemara pimples. Can you say shlichus, not shlichus? In the end of the day, there's no shlichus in these kinds of things for technical reasons. But says the Ketzais, according to the Ketzais Rid, it's the moot question. According to the Ketzais Rid, how can you talk about Shlichus in Dvar Averus when there's no Chalois, there's no change in status, nothing happened. It's purely Shlichus on a Maisa. So just as there could potentially be Shlichus on a Maisa of Avera, where there is or not, it's a different story, but Shlichus is not fundamentally a problem, even though there's no real Chalois. So you see that there's no requirement of a Chalois. So in theory, there could be Shlichus on a Mitzvah Shebegufo. So Taka, what's the problem? Why is there no Shlichus on a Mitzvah Shebegufo? So the Ketzel says the answer is very simple. He says Shlichus means, it's phenomenal. The Shlichus becomes the Mishaleach, and wonderful whatever he does. The Mishaleach, everything is great. Whatever Lashonah you want to use for Shlichus. But it says the Ketzel, the buck stops here. There's one thing that doesn't happen. Namely, the arm of the Shlichus is not the arm of the Mishaleach. The body of the Shlichus is not the body of the Mishaleach. You want to say the chaloisim of the shliach works. You want to say he's the baldover, he's the bayit, call whatever you want. But to say that physically the arm of the shliach is physically the arm of the Mishaleach, that's absurd. And therefore, the Ketzai says that when I appoint the shliach to put on tefillin for me, it's as if I put on tefillin. Absolutely. I did the mais anochas tefillin, I get the chalois anochas tefillin, I get everything, except it's as if I put tefillin on somebody else's arm. If I would take tefillin in the morning and wrap it on your arm, would I be yotzei tefillin? No, you're yotzei tefillin. Because if I take a piece of matzah and I feed it to you on Pesach night, that's not called a chilas matzah, that's called your chilas matzah. So mitzvah shebegufo means, that's what the words mean, mitzvah shebegufo. The goof of shaliach has to, the goof of a person has to do the mitzvah. So, mashal mandav adayma, if I take tefillin, I put tefillin on the wrong arm, I'm a righty, so I put tefillin on my left arm. But if I would wake up in the morning and put tefillin on my right arm, so then I wouldn't be yotzei the mitzvah. I did a maisa nochas tefillin, that's not enough. It's not enough to do a maisa nochas tefillin. You have to do a goof nochas tefillin on the goof, and on the right part of the goof. So the shaliach's, how can the shaliach's left arm be better than my right arm? So I put tefillin on, I did a maisa tefillin on the wrong person, on the wrong place. It's like putting tefillin on my foot. I didn't put the tefillin on in the right place. So the shaliach's from today till tomorrow is a fixais. It doesn't change a body. It doesn't change biology. It changes halacha, it changes chaloisim, it changes bardas, it changes a million things. But bodies it doesn't change. Shluch Shlom Kibbozo doesn't mean what it sounds like. It doesn't mean the shliach and the mishalech become one and the same. So this grandiose principle of shlichos, you have to chip away at it a little bit and see what exactly does it mean. Machlokes is Rambam in the door, according to Yosef Mech, machlokes Amarayim. And even as powerful as shlichos may be, says the Ketzais, one thing for sure, it falls short. It doesn't work by mitzvah shemagufo for the above reasons. Hopefully mitzvah shem next week, we'll try to continue this klal of shlichos and try to see what some of the exceptions to shlichos are, which will hopefully give us a little bit of a better picture what shlichos is and perhaps what shlichos is not.